if there's one thing I've learned from 18 months doing this show is that we could segue into Pokemon from just about any subject.
We could talk about the product placement in the most recent Gokaiger.
Which product placement? I don't recall.
Do you remember the scene where that monster steals the kid from his bedroom?
Yeah, but I wasn't paying attention to anything in the bedroom.
He has two Joint Gatai Megazords on his shelf.
Oh, I missed that.
That seems like the kind of thing Fort Max would pick up on before you.
And also possibly Big Convoy, but that might just be a mammoth.
You know, being that excruciating minutia is Fort Max's specialty. But, you know, everything Fort Max does is excruciating. What the hell was that?
That was me queuing up the Gokaiger episode and muting it.
And now it's time for another Superhero Time. With your hosts, XV.
Haha, furries.
Hey, Mickey.
But Mama's little baby looks shortening.
Paladin.
I'm here for that too.
Ken.
I didn't feel like a racehorse.
And Fort Max.
You're listening to Superhero Time with some guys, minus the one guy who's gone. I don't know. Whatever.
He lost his communicator this week.
Yes, he forgot
the digital watch.
Or something like that. I don't know.
He's got diarrhea.
He might. I mean, you never know. Kind of hard to do a podcast from a bathroom when you've got really foul diarrhea. Depending how good your microphone is, that might even pick up on the show, you know. We'll have to test that one week when I'm not so well in my stomach. I do have that laptop.
Listeners shit every week now. We give listeners shit every week on a regular basis. Why not have anything different?
Well, I think there's kind of a psychological difference between figurative shit and literal shit.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of like getting thrown up on. That's just unpleasant. Have you ever been thrown up on?
No, but that reminds me of a wonderful story that my friends from school told me. He was really sick one day, and he had diarrhea, and he was just going to town all over the toilet.
Is this the refried bean story?
I don't know about refried beans, but then the smell came up and hit him, and it turned his stomach. So he had to turn around in mid-squirt and vomit into the toilet, and then it backsplashed all over his face.
Well, true story?
True story.
Right.
Well, I assume it's true. I wasn't there to actually verify it, but this is the type of thing that this guy had happened to him, so it's probably true. He was eventful.
Well, that's a great way to start off the show, isn't it?
Yeah.
A hearty diarrhea and vomit story.
Still better than Gosager.
Well, that's still a diarrhea and vomit story, just not a hearty one.
It has a longer neck.
It's watered down.
And someone died.
The Green Ranger.
Green Ranger
and your mom.
Dying. No, I don't think your mom was in Gosager.
Even they couldn't pay her a nickel?
Guess not. She was too good of an actor.
They decided to try and help her lose weight and stop whoring. You can see how well that went.
Yeah. So, Paladin, did you ever watch the direct-to-video Gosager thing that came out a few months ago?
Oh, no.
Just checking.
That's your job.
Yeah, really. You have to watch Gosager when nobody else will.
It'll be bad enough when we have to watch the 199 movie.
We'll just fast-forward through the parts with the Gosagers.
There's probably more than half of it, right?
Shit. When's it supposed to come out on DVD? October?
I think so, yes.
Well, then it won't be too much longer before we get to see it. And cry.
From its strength?
No, from the Gosagers being there.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the opposite of strength.
Booze?
Well, that would help, wouldn't it?
I believe it would. As much as anything could ever help the Gosagers.
Well, I mean, if you drank so much that you passed out in a pool of your own vomit, potentially urine, the Gosagers probably wouldn't seem so bad anymore, right?
I don't know.
Being that you would be unconscious at the time.
But then they tried to help you.
In your dreams.
Which would probably mean you'd end up getting raped.
For real or in your dream?
Yes. By Datus.
No, by the professor.
Well, Datus has got the joystick sticking out already.
That's kind of what I was thinking. He's more equipped for it. I still think Nozomu was the project, the product of word I can't think of. Obviously.
I'm guessing there's a lot of those.
I'd answer, but I can't think of the word I want to use.
Perfect.
It's not Tim Curry, but it's similar.
You ever see that movie from the 80s called Daryl?
The one with the robot kid?
I don't think I've ever actually watched that.
That's Nozomu. The professor built him.
No, that's...
Operation Overdrive.
I was trying to think of his name, but again, it escapes me.
Mac?
Well, great.
As long as you know it's from Operation Overdrive, that's the only part worth remembering from the series.
I suppose. And it's not like anybody wouldn't know what you were talking about if they've watched it.
Yeah.
Damn. I always wanted to see an epilogue to Overdrive where it was the rich guy. What's his name?
Mr. Collins?
No, Overdrive, not Time Force. But where it was him in a straitjacket in a mental hospital, and in the corner of his padded room, there was a mop with a bucket on top with a face drawn on it. And that's all of Overdrive was just his delusion. That's Mac, his robot son that he built. The broom with the bucket on the head.
No, I'm pretty sure that would have been better than Overdrive.
Well, yeah. It would have meant Overdrive never happened. That'd be better.
No, I'm saying his delusions probably would have been better than Overdrive.
Oh, well. Yeah, I mean, if they're delusions, they probably would have been at least a little creative.
They could have been like Phelps or Shatara's delusions.
What?
Shatara's delusions.
Oh. Although those were kind of weird.
Well, so was he.
Especially since most of them resulted in Akiko in costumes. Something was going on there.
I didn't hear about this.
Right. So what's going on this week?
Other than
football.
Oh. Okay, so 20 more minutes of this.
Hey. So who watched Thundercats this week?
You know,
both of your sound qualities are going again.
You know, I'm not really that impressed with Thundercats. I mean, it looks pretty and everything, but there's just no substance behind it.
There's plenty of substance.
Sounds like Thundercats, then.
Yeah, that's what I was... Well, except original Thundercats didn't look this nice.
Original Thundercats was slow and plotting.
Well, looked that nice for about maybe a minute. Then the theme songs ended.
Right. That always was the best-looking part of the series.
Well, the art design held up, even if the animation did not.
But the voice
Bass
sucked.
Had an awesome, awesome production design.
And why doesn't the new Thundercats cartoon have a proper theme song?
Because they cut that out to make more commercial room.
Apparently. But the most important question is, why doesn't the Voltron revival look this nice?
Because it's Voltron.
Because Voltron never gets a fair break.
Yeah, look at Third Dimension.
Must we?
No, I'll spare you this time, but be prepared, it may come up in the future.
I'd expect that from you.
If I can find episodes somewhere.
Voltron 3D?
Yes. Somebody must have at least a couple encoded.
Didn't that have Tim Curry, too?
I don't know, I couldn't watch
Was it a cartoon in the 90s?
It's straining a definition of cartoon, but yes.
Then how yes, he was in it.
How is it straining the definition of a cartoon?
Because it's shitty CGI?
No, that sounds like a late 90s cartoon to me.
Especially one that was on Fox, I believe.
It was syndicated, actually.
No, worse than Fox.
Because over here it aired on the WB affiliate.
Beast Wars was syndicated.
Did anybody watch Beast Wars on a channel that wasn't Fox?
I watched it on Cartoon Network for a little while.
Well, that was season three, though. I mean, I'm talking about the first two seasons.
No, because the Fox affiliate picked up the syndication package.
So basically it was a Fox show then.
Well, it was, no.
Before it was picked up, well, before Beast Machines, well, it became a Fox Network show around the same time Beast Machines started.
Yeah, and look where that got him.
Well, at least the DVDs came without the wacky edits.
That I'm over here on it aired Sunday mornings on the WB station.
And what did it air on the weekday airings?
That was later on, but it was still WB. Mm. Of course, granted, Fox Kids hadn't aired on the actual Fox station since like 95 or something.
Texas is so screwed up.
No, it's
that's
more
not
that,
news.
Before that, Fox also owned a non-network station, and they just put Fox Kids on there.
Uh-huh.
How does that make Texas not screwed up?
What?
How does that make Texas not screwed up?
I don't know. I don't think it does.
It can't.
I'm not even sure that was Fort Max's point either, so.
It wasn't my, that wasn't the point.
Not that it's that easy to tell.
That would imply you had a point.
Pretty much.
Like we ever have a point on this show. See, also the last 12 minutes.
Damn it, it's only been 12?
Actually, it's been 11:45, I just rounded up. But, you know, it doesn't really matter about Thundercats anyway, because Cartoon Network will just kill it.
Well, they haven't killed Ben 10 yet. That show will never fucking die.
That's because the toys are highly profitable, even though they seem to never sell.
Besides, what other brands does Bandai have to depend on besides that?
Well, certainly not Power Rangers.
Uh-huh.
Although, yeah. Finally, there's some Power Rangers toys where I live, but of all places, it's at Kmart.
Yeah, Bandai's made a big push here in the past month or two. The Thundercat stuff is showing up at Kmart's. And Walmarts, and Power Rangers is going to spread into Kmarts, hitting more Walmarts than it was before.
I keep forgetting Kmart is still a thing.
I haven't seen any Thundercats toys anywhere so far.
I have, at Toys R Us.
Oh, I don't have a Toys R Us.
I have two within 15 minutes, so.
Yeah, same here.
I think there's more than that here.
Of course, I also don't have a Target anywhere nearby either.
No Leadfoot for you, then.
Yay. I bought my second or third movie toy just yesterday, so I'm not really hurting for that.
Who was it?
Whirl. Makes a nice gun.
Yeah, he does that one thing very well.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And that's pretty much Whirl, too.
Oh, no, wait, that's my fourth movie toy, because I got Hatchet.
Hatchet's great.
Yes, it's a nice little dog thing that turns into a jet. Which puts it like three steps above any version of Movie Ravage.
Because it actually turns into something.
Yeah.
I like to think of it as a terror dog from Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that works, I guess. Well, I'm bored. Let's talk about Ghostager.
Let's go.
Ghostager?
What?
Yeah,
why?
I'll be recommending Ghostager.
Yeah, it's not time to talk about Gokaiger yet.
Yes, it is.
So the Figuarts girl, Shink in Red, apparently is out or something.
And none of us care enough to try and buy it.
Well, I don't own Figuarts anything, so I certainly don't care enough to try, but, you know, whatever. Looks nice, though.
Well, they all do that.
Well, that is kind of the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's about the sum of what happened this week.
Which is sad, really.
Especially for us.
Especially because even though nothing happened, you're still stretching this out to 20 minutes and wasting your time with it.
Well, it's superhero time. Bullshit's got to get somewhere in there.
We started the show with bullshit, didn't we?
Today or originally?
Yes.
Yes. That was frightening.
Yeah, you and Fort Max had the same thought at the same time. He's in your head.
And your pants.
Billy deserves both those fates.
The next sound you hear will be someone castrating themselves. Okay, anybody got anything else? Anything at all?
Not a damn thing.
Alright, fine, I give up. Let's talk about something else. Lady's choice.
You heard him, Ford Max.
That's not really where I thought that was going to go, but I accept it.
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action.
So Gokaiger opens up with a recap of where they stand on the ultimate powers.
And there will be a test on it. Pay attention.
Well, Marvelous says f*** that.
Well, he's just mad because he still doesn't have any curry.
You'd think all that time they spend not doing anything, they could go to the curry place again.
Well, it kind of got blown up.
Well, it's been months. It surely has been rebuilt by now.
But then how could they make a show of it?
Plus, they probably don't remember where it is.
Well, that's true. I imagine one place on Earth looks exactly the same as another place to them, being that they're from outer space and all. Probably all people on Earth look alike, too.
That's racist.
And they don't wash their hands or brush their teeth.
Yeah. What?
So, Guy has these lovely posters set up with some kind of magnetic circle things to check off the powers with.
Maybe it's a static thing, like color forms.
Like felt?
No, not felt. Felt that's board. Too fancy.
That's what I did to your mother.
Oh. So they've got, what, 12 powers left to go?
Yep.
Are any of them good powers, or are they all crap?
Battle Fever J.
Yeah, they didn't get that one in the movie, did they?
The ultimate power of cocaine?
Actually,
the ultimate power of worldly dances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same difference.
I hope when they get that and use those attacks, whatever Zangek commander there just looks at them like they're retarded.
Okay, let's see. What they don't have are Battle Fever J, Sun Vulcan, Change Man, Flash Man, Mask Man, Live Man, Five Man, Jet Man, Kaku Ranger, O-Ranger, Mega Ranger, and, well, they're going to be getting Hurricaneer next week, so.
So basically a big slash of the 80s and a few spots from the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame they've already got Bioman, because I'd like to see an episode on that.
Well, they don't have time anymore. We are just past the halfway point in the series.
I wonder what the Dynaman ultimate power is.
Explosions.
Maybe it's an 80s soundtrack in the background when they summon the Megazord.
It plays Funky Town.
They get their own convention.
The power to coordinate a music video.
Dynaman,
or they get, or it's the power to get rear-ended.
No, that's
your mom has
that
power.
And it only costs a nickel.
Someone reruns the Gokai Galleon, and they can't make it to the episode.
To Gokai Con.
Yeah.
And they said they already have the Goandra powers, but that attachment won't be out for another few months.
I'm sure we'll get
for that.
I'm sure we'll get an extra Goandra episode out of that, since there's a toy to sell.
I hope so.
I hope the ultimate combination involving the Goandra add-on Gojujin is called Go Go Gokaio.
I'm hoping that engine number 13 has an engine cell and a hologram thing that'll talk to him.
And its own engine rep.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it does come with an engine soul.
Though I know we are getting a Live Man episode coming up, and it probably is going to involve stuff being settled with between Marvelous and Bosco.
Why do you say that?
Considering the entire theme of betrayal and redemption with Live Man.
Betrayed.
And considering that the one actor who's going to be in that episode is the one whose friend who betrayed him is redeemed himself. And, well, given the way the show's been going so far,
we're probably going to get an episode sometime in the future tying up the whole Barazorg loose end as well.
Or not.
If they set it up with a two-parter, I'd hate to think they did that for no reason at all.
No, they just did that because it was Shinkanger.
Mm.
Same way they're making Hurricanger two parts.
Right.
But do people like Hurricanger?
Obviously, they got all three of them back.
They seem to like Hurricane Blue.
Well, wouldn't you?
Well, maybe before, but she's not looking so hot now.
Well, it's been, what, 10 years?
So, what, she's approaching 50 then?
But anyway, an episode happened.
Yes, Pirates and Ninjas.
We knew the series would get to this eventually.
And there need to be subs for Hurricanger now.
They're out there somewhere. A lot of them have been taken down because of infringement or whatever bullshit they pull.
I tried to watch one
the other day, but it was kind of boring.
Aren't the subs that exist for it not good quality anyway?
They were okay-ish. I think it's just the show itself turned me off.
Maybe that was Abba Ranger I'm thinking of.
So back up at the Zangiac ship, they decided to recruit some ninjas to fight the pirates.
Space ninjas.
Space ninjas, yes.
That's important.
The sons of two of the enemies from Hurricanger. And they happen to look exactly like their parents.
And sound exactly like... sound exactly like them, too.
Okay, now, I might be mistaken, but I think the space ninja who isn't Char is voiced by Gilbert Gottfried speaking perfect Japanese.
Which one was he again?
Yes.
The one that doesn't sound like Char. Kabuki face.
The shark head one or the other one?
Kabuki face.
Okay.
The one that summons a table simply to dramatically flip it.
Yeah.
Flip table!
Well, if you had ninja techniques that let you conjure objects out of nothingness, wouldn't you make that one of your special moves?
Probably.
I think if he's conjuring anything out of nothingness, it's like bottles full of Adderall. Because it tends a tad on the hyper side.
Well,
just
yeah.
A tad?
He's enthusiastic.
Adderall.
He has some enthusiasm for his work.
I'm going to sit down here and make a team. I'm going to go to Earth and turn people into nuts.
Yeah, I don't really get the turning people into nuts thing.
He drives them nuts, so they're literally nuts now.
They're big nuts.
That's a little
some
nutty,
don't resemble Hershey's Kisses.
Big, hard, brown nuts.
Are they droopy nuts?
They look more like pastries.
What kind of pastries have you been eating, Fort Max?
Sweet
it's
nuts.
Texas, remember?
No, I'm saying that they look more like pastries with the chocolate topping than they do nuts.
So cream-filled nuts.
I could go for a Long John right now.
I wonder how often your mother said that.
Your mom also likes lady fingers.
But that costs an extra nickel.
So yes, nuts.
And an over-the-top dose of product placement.
Oh, really?
Yes, Kabuki Face abducts a kid from his room, and the kid has two Joint Gatai Megazords on his shelf.
Which two?
Magi King and Decaranger Robo.
How is the Joint Gatai Decaranger Robo?
I don't know anyone who's bought it, actually.
That can't be a good sign.
It can't be any doofier than the original.
Well, and, you know, compared to how a lot of the Joint Gatai, how the individual components turn out, I would imagine a bunch of little vehicles couldn't do that badly.
It's a good theory.
Which probably means it's entirely wrong, given that it is Bandai.
And they hate you.
Yeah.
But not nearly as much as Mattel.
Well, it's a good thing I don't want any of Mattel's stuff anyway.
Very true.
Just like, you know, everybody else in the world.
I'm that 2-foot-tall Voltron.
Well, I don't want that.
That is...
stupid.
Yeah.
Even for Mattel, that's stupid.
You know what's going to happen? They're going to release that, and it's going to be so heavy that it falls apart. And Hasbro's going to say, yep, we told you so. Because, you know, the whole Supreme Devastator non-shit from a couple years ago.
Well, whatever.
Anyway, back on topic.
Yeah, right.
Marvelous Joe and Luca have enough of the recap, so they head back onto Earth.
To get some ice cream.
Not curry?
Well, maybe they're hoping to find Ankh.
But they got the wrong kind of ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have needed popsicles for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You like popsicles?
What was that?
Yeah, never mind. Just go on.
Sure.
No, it's Gokai.
Anyway, so they encounter Kabuki Face Jr., turning everyone around them into nuts for some whatever reason.
I think it's because he's nuts.
I think this episode's a little nuts.
Worse than last
episode
week.
Is at least as crazy as any of the Jealous 2 episodes.
I don't know.
No, not. It's crazy, but not that crazy.
It's pretty close.
This one doesn't end up with someone's runaway pregnant mother, so I think this is slightly better.
Well, there's always next week for that.
And during the fight, Kabuki Face gropes Gokai Yellow.
Honk.
Yes.
Which would be more entertaining if I didn't know the suit actor was male.
He could still have boobs.
Well, it's unlikely being built like that. If the suit actor can fit in that suit, probably doesn't.
So we get, what's the Gokai change here?
That was, not Sun Vulcan.
Abba Ranger?
But... Is it Live Man?
Yeah, I think it was Live Man. It's not Sun Vulcan, it's the one that looks just like Sun Vulcan.
Live Man, yes.
Yeah.
I like their helmets.
Yeah, very sculpted.
Yeah, and Live Man started out as a three-person team, so
that's why they used it.
Same with Abba Ranger. In fact, what was missing from that sequence was Sun Vulcan.
I like how they structured the Gokaiger team and that green and pink hang out together more often, which allows the other three to separate off from the three-man teams when they need to.
Yeah, that's happened all of, what, three times so far?
But the way they plan the characters out, it works.
Yeah, I suppose so.
So around this time, Kabuki Man summons Shark Face to help him out. But then, look at the time. It's missile o'clock.
And you know, Sharky there is like three times faster than Kabuki Face.
But he's not red.
Yeah, well, I gotta get these jokes in where I can.
Yeah. So apparently they're using all the nuts to make a missile.
I don't really understand how that works either.
A missile fueled by nuts.
Yeah, it's almost missile o'clock.
It's not really making it make any more sense, is it?
I do like when Commander Nepotism does the same victory dance as Kabuki.
Yes.
Yeah.
Best thing he's ever done, actually.
Gil's pretty fun when nobody's trying to take him seriously.
Well, he's pretty fun when he's not trying to take himself seriously.
Well, he's the only one left who would take himself seriously.
Well, yeah. Well, that implies other people ever took him seriously, though.
Well, before they got to know him, anyway. What?
So the monsters skedaddle, and the Gokaiders head back up to the galleon with the nut that they've managed to capture.
And of course, Guy has the solution once again.
I'll use a metal detector on the nut to find more nuts.
Sure.
Why not?
I'm sure there was worse ways that they could have done that.
So, was that an actual use of the Mercury Rangers? Powers that could track anything? Or is that just...
Yeah, it's a metal detector. It detects shit.
Well, wouldn't that be a shit detector then?
If that existed, it would have picked up us by now.
Well, how do you think people find us to listen to the show?
I generally assume they don't.
Well, I'm pretty sure Barricade's listening right now.
Yeah, but that's not people.
But right now?
Well, he could be.
Listening or people?
I was thinking listening. The people part didn't really occur to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, there is that. I should watch Bokinger. But it's too much trouble. Anyway.
So the bad guys are roasting the nuts that are people. Because,
don't
you know,
see an open fire, though.
Well, the stones that they have them on are hot, so. And I don't think those are chestnuts either, so.
Ah, damn.
Maybe next time. Okay, so here's something I'm wondering about. If one of those people who got turned into a nut would happen to be allergic to nuts, would they die?
Yes.
Okay. As you were.
Okay.
Gokaigers find them, and there's another fight.
In which Marvelous Joe and Luca get teleported away to hell or something.
Looks more like a game show set.
So yeah, it's probably the home for infinite losers.
Japanese game show set, so yeah, hell.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But suddenly...
putties.
And not the usual variety. Ones. Yeah, these are Space Ninja putties.
I assume they're from Hurricaneer.
Yes. Did you ever watch Ninja Storm?
No. I made it about 10 minutes into the first episode and I couldn't take any more.
Ah, well.
Yeah, those are the foot soldiers.
I forget what they were called.
Kelzaks.
Okay. Well, that's,
so
that's
they, and they had a stupid name in Ninja Storm.
Everything had a stupid name in Ninja Storm. Just ask Blake and Hunter. Of course, Blake and Hunter also had the gimmick of being turned evil every other week. But yes, putties.
And then there's Giant Shark Face facing off against Gojujin.
He's a shark.
And that's not going so well, is it?
No, it's not. And because of that, I think this is also the first time since its introduction that we haven't seen Gokai Silver Gold mode.
Well, it's not like there was much opportunity to use it.
And because they have a new toy to sell now.
Horrible CGI tiny green robot.
On his flying shuriken. So it's not exactly Ninjor, but it's almost not as good.
Ninja Storm. Bullshit.
Well, at least they didn't have the guinea pig in this episode.
Do we mention that three of the Ninja Storm people, or Hurricaneer rather, are running around?
Yeah, no. Now we...
yeah, let's see. And leaving leaving a photo shoot or something?
Well, isn't her deal she's a pop star or something now?
Yes.
Okay. Then, and Yellow just left some dude in the middle of a park with a wheelchair.
So apparently he's an asshole.
And Red, well, he ended up spraying the guy who owns the car he was washing and just leaves him standing there with the shower thingy.
So he's also an asshole.
He's working at the car wash.
Real step up from that whole ninja thing.
Hey, some of that work gets kind of hard.
And I bet they can't even use their ninja skills for that either. If you could ninja your way through washing a car, I'm sure that would take no time.
I think I saw the Ninja Turtles do that once. In the cartoon.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Wax on, wax off?
That was in the movie. Get your turtles straight.
So, while the cartoon robot is helping Gojujin, the Hurricaneer show up and completely slaughter all the yummies.
Yeah.
Or whatever they were called.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Space yummy putty?
Yeah.
Tasty. Guy, of course, freaks out again at meeting new Sentai veterans.
Running gag.
It looks like he forgot his autograph book this time.
Oh, well.
But Gab quickly becomes disillusioned.
Because the Hurricaneers want their powers back.
And they're kind of dicks about it.
Well
not like they weren't dicks about everything already.
Yeah, I mean, we established that with the spraying the guy in the wheelchair thing. And Blue being a pop star. Not setting good trends here.
I mean, you know, when Magnum Defender wanted his powers back, that, you know, was kind of different. He kind of asked for them kind of nicely and tried to justify it.
Sure.
The Hurricaneer is like, give us our powers back.
Yeah, you're not good enough for this. I'm sure if Furaimaru comes back, they can defeat Kabuki Face.
I believe that's the whole point of this, yes.
And, you know, how misleading is that, too, with how Furaimaru is moving, given what the toy looks like? Sad right there. It's like the Max Solar Zord all over again.
Except it has uglier colors.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, I mean, the Max Solar Zord at least looked nice.
Well, it had a nice color layout anyway.
All those shiny solar panels.
But, you know, in terms of design, it was still just a flying box. In both modes.
I flew in your mom's box.
In both modes?
Oh, yeah.
And so we have a cliffhanger.
So I assume next episode is going to be the Hurricangers fighting against those three as the other Hurricangers.
Well, we didn't see that in the preview.
Well, but just in general. I mean, not specifically with powers, but...
I'd still assume that much.
And then we get our first sort of real crossover.
Also, the one thing to keep in mind is that the other three from Hurricanger aren't actually Hurricangers.
Yeah, the two are Go-Rigers and the other is a Shurikanger.
Yeah,
who is also dead, so he probably won't show up.
Hard to say.
Weren't they?
What?
They were all together in the show called Hurricanger.
But the first three are the only ones who are actual Hurricangers. There was two teens and then the other guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's that then.
Yeah, that happened.
And it was fairly entertaining.
Next week's episode will probably be more interesting.
It's called The Special Wind Blows. Which...
Well...
we'll find out if it blows or not.
They're all going to Taco Bell?
The toy already kind of blows. We know that much.
I'm sure they'll dress it up real nice for TV. More than they already have. They'll probably make the combination not look entirely retarded. How they would accomplish this, I have no idea.
Extensive CGI?
Very extensive, I'm sure.
You say that like the CGI isn't bad.
Well, it's better than the toy, at any rate. The toy that doesn't even have arms. Just the impression of arms.
So it's just as good as the rest of the add-ons.
Well, what was wrong with the Pat Striker?
The price?
It wasn't that expensive.
Well, your mileage may vary.
I imagine the Pat Striker would be the one they were most likely to, you know, do well. Since all it has to do is fold the other into a car. And guns. The guns are important.
So we can do sweet 360s and with Gatling guns?
Yeah. And Gowlion never looked that bad either. Especially since they had to do two different things.
Yeah, but the Gowlion combined form was just stupid, though. Of reverse centaur.
Well, true, but the Shinkanger version of it was fine.
They have been getting a lot of use out of that one.
They even said so in this episode.
We've advertised that one a lot.
Oh, gee, you think there was something new coming to advertise? Hint, hint, hint.
It has been a while since they got a mecha power-up.
Yeah, the last new one they used was the f***ing Go-Sagers. Oh, wait, that was Go-Go V. I'm wrong.
Five.
That still wasn't a new mech.
And it's still better than Go-Sager.
Well, even Overdrive has to be a little better than Go-Sager.
I disagree there.
I don't see how you could. You actually watched all of Go-Sager.
Yes, but I got better merchandise out of Go-Sager than I ever could have with Overdrive.
Well, I'm talking about in terms of, you know, show quality, though. You know, if you wanted better merchandise representations of Overdrive, there's the Bokanger toys. Or the Micro Zords. Those were good. Need more of those. I don't know why they stopped making Micro Zords.
Because Bandai.
Yeah, well. You got me there. Okay, so should we move on to the other thing?
The other thing?
No, Ken's not with us this week.
So we have to honor his memory.
Yeah. All right, let's go.
So what three things happened this time?
A lot of things happened.
And how many of them matter?
I'm guessing three. just to go with the theme.
So the first thing is Gamel wanting to bring Mizzul back, of course.
And he apparently seems to actually know how to do it, sort of.
Well,
he thinks he does.
He thinks he does, but Mizzul's kind of gone.
Or at least she wasn't in the metal he was holding.
Because all he had was an Unagi.
Yeah, apparently a greed's consciousness resides in one specific metal in their body.
Probably the head metal.
Well, one of the head metals.
In the process, he knocks the doll off Maki's arm again and freaks him out.
And then when the doll gets back up on the arm, it has crazy eyebrows.
Electrical tape eyebrows.
Still crazy, though.
Yeah.
That was disconcerting.
Well, so is the doll.
Yes, but it made it worse.
And they don't even bother to gather up the cell metals left by Mizzul's corpse.
Well, that's what the Terracan droids for.
No, that was picking up the cores.
Right, cell metals.
And they're not using the gorilla anymore for some reason.
I guess they don't really need cell metals as much.
Right, and they're not using the gorilla because, well,
it's a yummy detector.
And it's also, presumably still in Date's possession.
So didn't we see Goto with a gorilla?
Yeah, Satanaka turned one off so she could take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, I don't think Maki would have them.
Yeah, didn't Maki have the Triceracan droid for that purpose? The one time it appeared?
No, that one got left behind.
No. Hard to keep up anymore.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, Goto pulls himself out of the river.
You'd think with that rock for a head, he would sink more.
No, he's still got a couple more battles to fight.
Maybe he'll die next week. But probably not. We got sequels to write.
And AG's left arm turns into a greed arm.
After he washes up by the seaside somehow. Apparently AG spent a lot...
After he washes up by the Toei Studios logo at the beginning of movies.
Apparently he spent a lot more time underwater than Goto did.
That would explain a few things.
But Goto should have sank. Because he's a rock.
That's why he
didn't get washed out to sea.
It anchored him there.
Yeah.
And as AG pulls himself out of the water, he realizes he's lost the belt.
Has any Kamen Rider ever actually lost their belt before?
Well, I've seen them get stolen. Does that count?
No, that doesn't count.
This isn't like your cell phone or something. You should really keep track of a little bit better than just putting your back pocket.
Well, presumably when he got blown into the water, he was still wearing the belt,
And he was still transformed when he fell in the water.
So how does he still have metals, then?
It's magic. Shut up. As if that's the first problem there's been with how the metals get back to him. They're actually really sloppy with the metals all throughout the series.
Well, granted, the ones that he pulled out were not the ones he was using when he fell in the water, so...
I'm sure he still has those, too. If the metal count at the end doesn't change, he still has them.
Yeah.
Unless he doesn't. So anyway...
At this same time, Ankh goes for a midnight snack.
In the middle of the day.
Yeah, somehow it's still very dark inside.
Small windows. Probably no windows in the kitchen.
Or
he's not in the
hall.
Kitchen for all of it.
And it was lighter when he wasn't in the kitchen.
But the darkness just causes flashbacks.
To happier times.
Not to Vietnam.
Flashbacks of him not giving a shit about what's going on.
And getting smacked in the head by AG again.
Apparently Ankh misses that nice abusive relationship they had.
Even says that much to Hina.
When he's not killing her. Again.
Because he can't actually kill anyone still.
Seems
but not. Apparently the whole real reason he came there was not just for the ice cream, but to ask Hina for permission to stay in Shingo. Which is pretty revealing in that he would never ask her for permission to do it before, but
or he could, you know, ask Shingo.
Well, I think Shingo's not really around right now.
Yeah, you can't really ask questions to someone who's in a coma. Well, you can ask them all you want. They're just not going to say anything.
Yeah. It's not like they're talking inside of Shingo's head.
They're not real people anymore.
Yeah, they're just set dressing.
But well, I think that scene showed a big evolution on his character in that he was asking instead of taking.
It's plus, a nice change, but it's not really clear what motivates him that way.
Especially
he thinks he's people.
The
it's the thing.
Or he wants to be people anyway.
I think he's learned how to feel feelings when he's attached to Shingo. So he feels.
Yeah, that sounds cliche enough to work.
Well, it makes sense, though, too, because he could taste through Shingo. So as long as he's attached, he can feel things the way real living things do. He can have genuine emotions.
Unlike the other greed who have never been bonded to a real human, he has the contrast to understand what he wants now.
And I think separated from Shingo, when he went back to being a plain regular greed, I think that's when he sort of realized what the difference was.
Seems that way.
Yeah.
Of course, there's also that matter of apparently if he's not attached to Shingo, he won't have a body. That'd be a little...
Well, he'd just have a hand again.
That's not having a body, though.
And it's pretty sad when he's left out in the rain.
Like a puppy.
Well, you know, at least being a hand, he could potentially carry around an umbrella for when it rains. Get the hand floating along carrying an umbrella.
And in the meantime, Gamel's turning more people into cell metal so he can bring Mazul back. And he actually does set it up just the same way Uva did.
That's kind of a creepy power for Gamel to have.
Just yeah, it's so terrifying.
He touches you and reduces you to a pile of cell metals. Actually, he can touch anything and reduce it into a pile of cell metals.
Like when he jumps on that Nissan Cube?
Yeah.
Also, Uva was there too, but that doesn't matter. Because it's Uva.
But yeah, it was nice that Gamel knew enough to bring the drop cloth with him to try to revive Mezul.
Because, yeah, it just wouldn't be complete without that.
Yeah. Which, again, it goes to, where do they get those things from? He didn't have it a minute earlier. Maybe they turned cell metals into those cloths.
Maybe cell metals were made out of cloth, just really tightly wound.
Your mom's tightly wound.
Oh, Chiyoko showed up briefly in this episode, showing that they haven't completely forgot that she existed.
Yes, it's just hard to include her when most of the stuff isn't happening at the restaurant anymore.
Yeah.
And she has no clue about any of the stuff that does go on.
And right. She must never know, for some reason.
Because it's Japan and she's female.
Even so though AG is not shy about transforming out in public other times, it's just Chiyoko who can't find out.
Yeah. Right. Japan.
She's not allowed to read the paper or watch the news either.
Yeah. Well, she is just a woman. It's not like she'd understand it anyway.
She can watch her cooking shows and that's it.
And her soap
opera. And stories.
Yeah. I wonder what a Japanese soap opera is like.
If there's awesome Mexican soap operas, I need to see them.
They're probably not.
Nothing's awesome as Mexican soap operas.
They're probably a lot like this, but without the rubber suits. Or at least a different kind of rubber suit. Because, you know, leather is so expensive.
So, AG sees the O's driver helpfully washed up on the shore right next to him. Which is lucky.
But just far enough away that he can't quite make it over there.
Before Ankh picks it up. Yeah. Oh, noes.
And Satanaka informs us that the repairs on Berth are complete, which is surprising, because who's fixing it now that Maki's gone?
They did kind of gloss over it. It's not really a new Berth driver, it's just a cake in the shape of one.
It's got new attachments, it's got, you know, the oven legs. Spatula arm.
Mixer arm. Frosting cannon.
Frosting cannon.
So go
does
to.
Does it spurt out gobs of white frosting from around the crotch area?
Serving knife wing.
So Satanaka and Goto exchange a thrilling drive exchange instead of
thrilling?
Just, you know, stopping. They have to throw them at each other while they're both driving.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, but really kind of unnecessary.
No, it wasn't even really that awesome. It would have been awesome if they did not cut in between to show them passing each other in close-up. You know, they would have had to actually coordinate that movement with the while they were driving without cutting away. That would be more awesome.
Okay, point taken. And but what is awesome, though, is that Goto transforms and runs smack into Gamel, who cell-metalizes the ride vendor.
And Satanaka mentions that she has something for Eiji from Kogami.
So what could that be?
I don't know.
Nobunaga's hand?
Well, what use would that be?
Turn it into a cow?
I'm not sure what tactical advantage that would have, but I approve of this plan.
It wouldn't hurt.
Maybe it's the orange metals.
Could be.
I'd be really surprised to see those outside of the movie.
Well, we saw Joker outside the movie.
That's true, we did, didn't we?
Yeah. So it's possible, I'm just not sure where it would fit in story-wise.
Or maybe it's just another cake.
It probably is a cake.
Maybe it's another cake with a metal baked in the middle of it. But I don't
well, considering well, considering what's created in this episode, yeah, could be a, just a, that he was sending a cake to him.
Meanwhile, back at the beach,
AG and Ankh begin their fighter routine.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
They begin trading blows with each other.
Literally. Wait, what? That sounds wrong.
Of course it does.
Then AG gets all cross-eyed and wet.
This is rapidly becoming inappropriate.
I was just going to let him run with it and see how far he went with it.
I was waiting for someone to react to something I said.
Well, again, I was just letting you go with it because I wanted to see how far you would take it. So Ankh goes on about something about how AG needs to have desire or something. Nobody will leave him alone about that, will they?
Nope.
And then AG actually thanks Ankh for making him O's.
Which really seems to throw Ankh for a loop.
Of course, I think after that we're more thrown for a loop when Maki comes and puts another purple medal in AG.
Two purple medals.
Well, first he puts one purple medal in. Which seems to make AG do a 180 and he starts attacking Ankh again. Nice way to say thank you.
You always hurt the ones you love. The ones who fulfill your desires while sitting on your crotch.
And then you take away their core medals.
For a nickel.
And then transform into final form.
Well, no, first he turned into purple-eyed Tatoba.
Which looks bad.
Well, the purple eyes don't really go with the colors of the suit.
I'll say it again, because there just aren't enough O's Tamashii Web exclusive figure arts yet.
Yeah.
Yes, countdown to the pre-order for that begins now.
It can stand on the shelf right next to Violent Emotion Decade.
I don't even know what that is, but I bet it's stupid.
It's Decade with his angry eyes.
Decade with angry eyes, and the little yellow triangle on the forehead's colored purple instead.
What are Decade's angry eyes?
They reshaped the eyes a little bit on the mask.
It's for the Decade movies when he starts killing the other writers instead of befriending them.
So his mask emotes?
Yeah, well, sort of.
The shape is a little bit different. And again, they make the little yellow triangle on the forehead into purple instead. That's about the
meanwhile,
extent of Goto
is getting his... I'm sorry?
I was just saying that's the extent of the differences between them. Oh. So yes, Goto is getting his ass handed
getting his
to
ass kicked. Until all of a sudden, Deus Ex Machina.
jumps in front of Satanaka's car.
The Bears.
Did he have surgery in Chicago or something?
Well, it's not like he could, you know, like the team or anything, because the Bears suck. For as long as I can remember.
And once again, the best part of the OSF...
I thought you were required to like them.
What?
I thought you were required to like them, being as you're from Chicago and all.
Not like I lived there.
Oh.
No, my hardwired love for a losing team is for the Cubs.
Okay. So you like the other loser team from Chicago?
Yes.
Okay.
The loserier team.
And if hockey was a real sport, I might feel sorry for the Blackhawks, too.
The only sport I care about is curling.
Yeah.
So once again, the best part of an O's episode is something that was spoiled by the f***ing preview last week.
That's usually how it works.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't we have all liked it better if we didn't know Date was coming back in this?
Well, even if the preview hadn't spoiled it, the magazine scans from a couple weeks ago did.
If you're like me, you don't look at magazine scans.
Well, okay. If you didn't see the preview last week, and you saw someone step in front of Satanaka's car, what would you have thought it was?
Decade?
I'm not really sure how that
thought would have been Maki or...
Maki doesn't wear shoes like that. Besides, Maki was over at the beach harassing Ankh and Eiji.
It was Norcross.
The next week thing, though.
What?
Wait. Never mind. I got confused.
Okay.
I've hurt myself.
Yeah.
And us.
So yeah, Date shows up.
So hurray for that.
He doesn't recall teaching any suicide moves to Goto, so...
Because Goto was about
Roto,
to run up...
Man.
Because Goto was about to run up to Gamble and try a point-blank cell burst.
It worked before.
Probably wouldn't work this time. I mean, that was just a yummy he used on last time.
So the two of them transform and give them the double tick cannon at once, and it kills Gamble.
Yeah. Apparently suicide attacks do work.
They do work if one of his cores was already cracked last episode.
There's your Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, I kind of missed that.
It wasn't last episode. It was earlier this episode. The part where
Maki
and Gamble briefly clash.
Yeah.
How did Gamble not notice that he got hurt that badly?
It's Gamble.
I'm not buying that excuse this time. If someone cracked your soul, I think you'd realize it. I mean, he's noticed lesser things than that.
Well, this didn't involve his candy blowing up.
Right.
Or Mizzou. So he didn't have to notice.
Yeah. I'm just still going to go with poor writing.
I still don't think it's out of sorts for Gamble's character to either not notice or not care.
Yeah, because, I mean, after all, Mizzou was gone.
Yes, the entirety of Gamble's focus was on reviving Mizzou.
So I'm just saying, for anything to strike Gamble with enough force to crack core metals, he would have reacted somehow, staggered back or something.
He did.
All the other three.
And Maki both fell down.
But I mean, that's just like they just
Maki
fell down
just reacted
normally.
More because the doll fell down.
And so back at the beach again.
Well, first before that, Gamble gives one last lollipop to Mizzou.
Or he would have if her consciousness was in that metal. Oh, and to resolve last week's thing where there was an image of human form Mezul in the preview. Yes, that was just a fantasy sequence.
Surprising absolutely nobody yet again.
Right. Okay, so meanwhile back at the beach.
Ankh once again resumes his full greed form, which I didn't think was possible.
Well, of course it's possible. He's got a body to mutate. I think that's going to leave.
Well, and plus plus he has some of Kazali's medals.
And the gaps in his head are finally filled in.
With yellow.
Now, is that because of Kazali's medals, or is that just a reflection of his hair when he's bonded with Shingo?
I think it's a reflection.
It's probably because of Kazali's medals, because on his midsection's also orangier.
Orangier.
I don't think it has anything to do with the other metals.
Yeah, I doubt they would have put that much thought into it.
Plus, Kazali's form never changed which metals he absorbed.
Yeah. And I don't think Kazali actually was able to achieve his full physical form, even when he had a bunch of other people's metals. This is just because Ankh has Shingo's body that's still there.
And the episode ends with Eiji's greed form.
After Maki throws another metal into him. But, you know, you would think that if Eiji could take control of those other two metals, he'd be at an advantage over Dr. Maki.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think Maki's kind of running a gambit here, and hopefully this works.
Well, it might. But the question is what the desired result is from this. Does he want Eiji to eliminate Ankh, or is there something else to it?
Either way, it ends.
Somehow Cake Boss is in control of it all.
Yeah, I hope that we get some explanation of what the hell his deal is. Because Hugami's been kind of a MIA in the past 10 or so episodes.
Well, it looks like he's involved next week.
They're back in his shrine again.
Yeah, the old memorabilia room. And then after that, only one more episode to go.
Yay.
I don't miss it like I do Double.
I like O's. It's just had a lot of problems overall that I'm just kind of glad it's ending up now. The story just wasn't written nearly as tightly as Double was.
Or your mom.
No, that's impossible.
Maybe Forze will be good, though.
It won't.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to Forze at all.
I'm already prepared to count that suit among my top 5 ugliest riders.
At what number?
Well, in honor of O's, 3.
Okay, so what's on either side?
See, above it are Shin and Hibiki. Below it are Stronger and Rider Man.
Decade's on the list?
No.
And that's a pretty awful-looking suit.
And it's still better than Four's.
And how can you not like Stronger's suit?
It's ugly.
But he's the inflatable bug man.
Yeah, and one of... I think in the Skyrider team-up movie, you have a close-up shot of the helmet, and the little crest antenna thingy is held on by a couple of twisty wires.
I'm not surprised.
Going through the holes in the eyepieces.
Fantastic.
That sounds about right
for Showa-era budgeting.
Yes, I imagine the crest broke off the suit, and that was the best they could do to fix it.
And then they give it a close-up in the team-up theatrical movie.
That was unwise.
I don't know if you'll notice that. But they didn't have Fort Max to contend with.
Maybe if they wanted people to notice it.
Masked Rider X.
What?
Nothing.
But I didn't hear what you said.
That's for the best.
It's only about Masked Rider X.
Well, I heard that part. I kind of missed the important part. Or allegedly important part.
Just like nobody will notice when it calls itself X.
The Eliminator?
Mega Man?
Might as well be.
What?
The Masked Rider Warriors thing, remember?
Oh.
Amazon?
No, that's Fort Max.
So that was O's.
Almost.
And we're kind of sad, but not very.
No, I'm not really sad.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I might be sad.
It's not like when you're eating a really great meal, but then you get kind of tired of eating it, and there's still more on your plate. You're like, okay, this is really good and all, but...
Well, that's when I take the rest of it home with me.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way for TV shows, though.
Well, no, I guess not. But it works really good with a plate of fajitas.
Fajitas.
No, I mean my
sausage McBiscuit.
Okay. So, Paladin, do you have anything to review for us this week?
The 3DS is actually pretty good.
You bought a 3DS?
Yeah, I figured with the price drop, what the hell.
So I've been telling you it was good the whole time.
Okay, so did you go to Walmart or Target before the official price drop and get it and then sign up for the, put it on the,
Ambassador program?
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Okay, so you got your free games and your $170. $70 or
$180. I think.
170.
170, yeah.
180 with tax.
So you got your... Wow, you got like a low tax rate up there, don't you?
What was that?
You got a low tax rate up there, don't you?
It's 6% here.
Damn.
Yeah.
Do you want to just hear?
9.75%. Well, I get 9.75 here.
That's not a tax. That's the universe punishing you for living in the South.
Obviously.
Well, we don't have income tax here either, so that kind of balances out a little bit.
And yet somehow we have nicer roads than Michigan.
Well, they're also able to work on it during more than one season in the South, so...
Yeah, they're able to work, period.
Well, that's because we only have one season in the South. Summer.
And where, Christmas.
Whereas, like, Michigan has winter, still winter, almost winter, and road construction.
Tis the season. Well, what game did you get with your 3DS?
The only 3DS game I picked up was Ocarina of Time.
That seems sensible.
Yeah, I think that's like the fifth time I've actually purchased that game.
I'm probably, when I pick mine up, get one, I'm probably going to have to get Star Fox.
Yeah, when's that coming out anyway?
September 11th.
Oh, how appropriate.
I would recommend the Ghost Recon game for the 3DS because it's fun. It's like Advance Wars, turn-based strategy type thing.
Ooh, I like
but with level ups.
How does turn-based strategy translate into 3D?
It's like you're looking down at a 3D board game.
Huh. And then you get a migraine from it.
Is the 3D working all right for you?
I don't use it all that much, but yeah, it works okay.
I love it.
Okay, now what are we talking about next on New Soundwave?
Mortal Kombat Legacy. Well, I don't think... off the top of my head, I don't remember if anybody on New Soundwave actually has a 3DS. So, there you go.
They're all haters.
Makes the show more interesting, though. Okay, so we'll be back with Tower Playback in a minute.
We paid your mom a nickel to listen to Superhero Time. She died.
From Beast Wars to Zeta Gundam, FigureReviews.com features a library of in-depth action figure reviews and high-quality photography reaching back to 2005.
XV and RAC carefully evaluate each figure and rate it on a non-numerical scale ranging from state-of-the-art to shoot-yourself, using a special formula based on years of toy reviewing experience.
Text, photos, video, audio, informative awesome in every format. FigureReviews.com.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the Street Fighter 3.
And now back to action with Superhero Time.
So, meanwhile, in Power Rangers
Mystic Force. And possibly reused music from Mystic Knights of Tirnanog.
So
well, the CG's on par with everything in Mystic Knights of Tirnanog.
Well, give them a break. It was 1997, right? 97 or 96?
No.
What year was that? No, Mystic Knights, not Time Force.
Oh, okay.
Fort Max, what year was that?
I don't know.
What year was Lost Galaxy?
I want to say 98.
Mystic Knights was 98 at least. Because we sold Mystic Knights toys while I was working at Toys R Us, and that was 98.
Oh, but it's also Toys R Us that could have easily gone through to, like, 2003.
No, it wasn't that. So I walked over from Toys R Us to service merchandise and bought one that was on clearance.
Did you work at the Toys R Us in Hickory Hollow?
No, this is about Chattanooga.
Oh. Well, I remember you said you were in Nashville working at a Toys R Us or something like that.
No, I worked at a KB in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
I worked at the shitty KB at 100 Oaks.
I remember that place.
As opposed to a non-shitty KB?
Oh, this was the KB outlet.
Yeah, it was extra shitty.
And 100 Oaks Mall, it was an entire mall. I think it had 7 stores open in it.
And not all at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's not even really a mall anymore. It's not even a mall anymore. It's just like a shopping center now. There's no
interior. No, it's not even that. There's it's no center.
Well, there's no interior structure anymore, though, is the point. Everything's from the outside. But I think we're getting off subject.
Yeah.
Not that we actually got to it to start with.
You're listening to Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Superhero Time's Power Playback every Friday afternoon on Twitter at TF Radio.
So, Power Playback this week is more Battleizers, and this time it's Time Force. One of the craziest episodes of Time Force.
And that's saying something.
But it's also one of the few or only Time Force episodes to use basically no Sentai footage. So that's something, I guess.
Except for stock footage?
Yeah, the one little snippet, but I mean, that barely counts.
And one of the few Ranger episodes to take place almost completely at night.
That's true.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Which is very nicely shot. I wish they had done more like this.
Yes, they must have rented a really nice street to shoot all this on.
Which is probably why they didn't do more like this. It must have been expensive to do something like that.
Well, yeah, I remember reading a while back that the reason that new footage shot, you know, within a city is saved for the very start and very end of the series is because of all the permits and stuff they have to get with the city to actually tie up a street like that for the length of shooting. Hmm. Whereas if you go to a park or a residential neighborhood, you can do it for almost nothing. Which explains a lot of Power Rangers Season 3, doesn't it?
In theory, yes.
Where every fight took place on that same cul-de-sac.
No, except for the ones in Australia.
Wasn't that Season 2?
Yeah, that was Season 2.
Yeah.
So Season 3...
Well, lost Paladin. Still there?
I think so.
Okay. Well, whatever you said a minute ago, I completely lost it.
Oh, that's probably for the best.
Probably so.
We all agree with you, though.
Also, that wasn't just me?
No.
Well, Paladin, time to find a new headset.
Oh, son of a bitch!
Excellent.
Okay, so this episode opens up with a jousting match over...
box.
Apparently they went to medieval times to film this.
Well, that's just one of the odd parts of this episode. The two knights that doesn't even involve time travel, apparently.
It could have involved time travel if they had better writing for it.
Yeah, the series called Time Force, and the only time travel was to get them from the future to the modern day setting. Well, and that one part with the dinosaurs a while back and the big red dick. But still...
But enough about your mother.
So
after that nonsense is resolved,
with the Black Knight back in killing the, present, the White Knight.
Yeah.
Back in the present, Trip has been volunteered to go pick up the pizza again.
That's right. It's the old Time Force trope of let's all take a shit on Trip. Because he's got green hair, so f*** him.
He also is potentially an alien, but they never really... were one way or the other about that.
Well, they called him a specific name for his race of people, but...
Well, have jewels in their foreheads for some reason.
Isn't that a trait of people from Edenoi?
I'm afraid it might be.
Oh, God!
But I don't think that's what they actually called him, if they called him something.
Maybe they're just cousins.
I wonder if he's really a bug person, too.
This would also explain Nadira's favorite television program.
Sadly, yes.
Yeah.
No, that's just Nadira being Nadira.
Well, no, it's like we talked about before. in that universe, Masked Rider was a highly successful soap opera, probably omitting the Bugman parts.
And probably Furbus.
Maybe.
Well, Trip gives in and decides to go get the pizza. Because,
well, he doesn't really give in so much as nobody listens to him when he says he doesn't want to.
And why not?
Well, he stops arguing at some point and goes to go get it.
Well, as far into the series as we are, you know, he has to have learned at this point that he doesn't really have a choice anyway. Yeah.
He if you're a Green Ranger who's not Tommy, you just get shit on.
Well, I mean, look at the team breakdown of this series. Pink alternates between being the boss and the second in command, depending on the situation. So she can't be the bottom of the pile. And Yellow has no personality, so she can't be either.
And plus, she's really strong, so...
Yeah, her personality trait is being really strong. But,
and
you know,
Blue has even less personality.
But, you know, he's a guy, so he can't be last. So you go for the green-haired, maybe alien guy, and make him the bottom of the totem pole. It's his lot in life.
It's not a lot, but his life. Huh.
Obviously, right? The future is not about equality very much.
That's the whole subplot with the mutants, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Of course, they kind of abandoned that, too.
Well, granted, it still doesn't change the fact that Rancic's just a complete asshole anyway.
Well, you'd probably be a complete asshole, too, if the world treated you like that.
We tried to help him. We tried to make him pretty like he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Well, granted, the one guy that we saw definitely trying to help him, he went around and killed right away.
Multiple times, it turned out.
Yeah.
He deserved it.
Yeah, probably so. He was part of that society. That's crime in and of itself.
Okay.
But anyway,
he goes to go get the pizza, and he decides he's going to sneak himself a bite before he gets back, because screw the other guys. They're dicks.
Besides, if he actually took it back, he probably wouldn't get a slice anyway.
Absolutely not.
Because they're dicks.
And because it's Trip.
But it's around this time that he noticed they're filming an Ozzy Osbourne video down the street. With fog machines and pink lights.
Which just gets better later, too.
And then that's when the black comes barreling through and crushes the pizzas.
The simple pizzas were no match for the evil Black Knight.
Well, Paladin, if nothing else, that right there was worth the price you paid for that headset.
I've been waiting all day to use that one.
It shows. Look at how much Fort Max is still giggling.
That doesn't prove anything.
You just think of today's Marmaduke.
That wacky
dog.
Well,
someone probably does get devoured right afterwards, so...
After the Marmaduke? What kind of comic has that turned into?
No, it's just much more interesting if you imagine that Marmaduke just eats everyone in sight.
But if he eats everyone in sight, then how can there be another strip afterward? Wouldn't everybody be dead?
There's continuity problems.
Oh, okay. Much like this episode of Time Force.
Yes.
Well, no, here's the thing. His owner is actually Hitler in purgatory. Of some sort.
Okay, so basically just every day he gets eaten by a dog again.
Probably.
I get it. That makes perfect sense.
See, now it's funny.
Actually, yeah, it is. So the pizza gets stepped on by a horse, but for some reason Trip goes back and collects it up off the street.
He paid good money for that, damn it.
Oh, and the Black Knight also takes the top of Trip's hat off.
So now he's got a hipster hat.
Or a really crazy headband, depending how you want to look at it. Yeah, you
Except
know,
hat that Scotty Too Hotty used to wear in playing back in the 90s.
Yeah, you know, if they would have gone back to the 80s instead of the year 2001, instead of a hat, Trip would totally have a headband on to cover his forehead jewel.
Yeah. Like Spock did.
Yeah, that one time. Didn't he just wear a hat the other time?
Colorful metaphors.
No, but I mean back when they went to the 60s with the stone knives and bear skins. Didn't he even have a knit hat to cover his ears? Did I hear the dog again?
No, cat.
Oh. Well, you know...
He's upset. I'm not paying attention to him.
You know,
because he's a little douche.
Zane?
Oh, it's a cat.
Exactly.
Zane.
Well, now I have to go and get another silver cat and name it Zane and teach it to be a douche.
You don't have to teach a cat to be a douche.
To be a Zane caliber douche, yes you do.
No, they just learn that naturally.
Well, they are cats.
Exactly.
So Trip shows up with the smashed pizzas and tells them that a black knight stepped on them.
And then they ask where the heck the pizzas are.
I think we might have done that one out of order.
No. They start asking about the pizzas right after he kept cutting off trying to explain what happened.
But didn't he present the pizzas to them?
No.
The point is,
he tries to explain what happened. They weren't listening.
Who can talk louder than Fort Max? What, Mickey?
I don't know. I forgot where I was going with this.
See what you did, Fort Max? Do you see what you did? What?
Bad. Someone squirt Fort Max.
Hell no.
Yeah, that sounds like your department, Mickey.
So, they all call Trip a liar.
And really, black knights, who wouldn't call him a liar?
Yeah, it's not like anything eccentric ever happens in their universe.
Yeah.
Right.
He wasn't made out of rubber.
Are you sure about that?
And then he shows them his hat with the top cut off, and they still don't believe anything strange has happened. Apparently they just think that Trip took the top off of his own hat to cover that he dropped the pizzas.
Because
either that or they
dicks.
Didn't even notice that it wasn't like that before.
That's entirely possible, too. It is just Trip.
Or just didn't care.
Well, Trip will be Trip. Maybe he,
Or, they never paid enough attention to him anyway to notice that it never that there used to be more hat.
So anyway.
So even though they all call their friend a liar to his face, basically, they don't hold it against him. So they decide, let's go get some food.
Yeah.
Cut to them leaving a movie theater.
I assume that was the next night.
Or they went out. To the most expensive place to get Trip to pay for food.
They wanted their $1,000 meal.
Wanted their $1,000 popcorn.
I hate movie theaters.
And while that's going on, Black Knight puts that box he got into a cave, protected by a dragon, which I also presume is behind the rabbit.
No, if it was behind the rabbit, that dragon would have looked much better.
And where did he get a dragon from, anyway?
Tirnanog.
I guess. I'm pretty sure that Mystic Force taught us that dragons are extinct.
Well, Mystic Force happened when?
Later.
Exactly.
Well, that's why they're extinct. They killed this one.
Damn it, Wes, you killed the last dragon. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. At some point in this, we cut to a couple in a car in the middle of nowhere for a really awkward scene in a kid's show.
Dude is totally going to bang this bitch.
And would totally...
He's telling her all the right lines.
Would totally defend her from everything, but... Well, except not a seemingly immortal, crazy guy with a sword. Which makes sense.
And there's really the fault of women.
What?
They want you to go and die for them. They're not practical at all.
Well, no. I mean, they are women. Which I feel I can say safely because I don't think we have any female listeners. So no hate mail. Well, not beyond the usual hate mail. But yes, that was a very odd scene to have in an episode of Power Rangers.
And then Black Knight blows up the car somehow.
Well, he is a knight. I mean, you know.
Oh, he must have hit it with a sword.
Right.
Yeah.
Except
isn't that the ultimate secret to explosions in this universe?
Hitting things with swords.
Happens every week.
Yeah. Oh, well played.
Makes perfect sense to me. Well, and what was his purpose in attacking them anyway?
I think he's just trying to cock block that guy.
Well, he succeeded.
Well, given that he's probably just got, that his shift was over at medieval times, he's probably, trying to keep a guy from begging his sister or something.
I found Paladin's comment to be more interesting.
Thank you.
So the Rangers show up and they have a little fight. Then Wes summons something. A flying sawhorse, I guess.
The Stratocycle, it's called.
Yeah, that's the stupid That's the stupid motorcycle from the future.
So he chases the Black Knight off into the music video set where he disappears when the sun rises.
Yeah. And so then Wes waits there all day until the sun goes down, because he's sure the Black Knight will come back out.
Perfectly logical. So why not stay here all day long for the next 12 hours?
Yeah. When you could be, eating or sleeping or picking on Trip.
Wes isn't very bright.
No, he's not.
I love how the rest of the team says, okay, well, you stay here. See ya.
Because they're dicks.
But once night falls again, the knight comes riding out of his cave. Apparently this knight is not just immortal, but he's a vampire too.
Now where did this cave come from?
The same place all the other caves ever in Power Rangers came from?
Tirnanog?
No, I mean, it looks like he was waiting on the music video set.
Yes, after the knight rides by, he goes in backwards along the tracks the horse left behind, and comes upon the mouth of the cave with its glowing red gases coming out of it. And if ever there was a warning sign not to... If ever there was a warning sign not to go in somewhere, it's glowing red gas.
But as we just said, Wes ain't that bright.
Yeah.
But it's not glowing red gas, it's glowing pink gas. So he throws things into the hologram are going on there.
I think if you have a gas that's diffuse enough, red light will look pink through it.
Well, this gas is pretty diffuse.
But it's still
red. It's the diffusiest.
Yeah, well, anyway.
So he fights the dragon and somehow manages to win.
Well, that's kind of a boring retelling.
Well, it was kind of a boring fight.
Also, kind of a bad dragon.
Kind of a bad dragon?
Bad dragon, no biscuit.
Well, there have been worse dragons. I think one of them was a box in the original Star Fox game.
Or the dragon in Mystic Knights.
I think the Gokai Magi Dragon looks worse than all of them.
That's true.
Granted, I think that has more polygons than you can count on two hands.
Because what you're saying is that this was generated in a PlayStation 1 game.
I think this might have been N64. At best.
To be fair, it still looks better than the Serpentera CGI from Wild Force.
Ugh. Bad times. Bad times.
Seriously, it looks a lot better than that CGI. What happened in the seasons?
They ran out of money hiring the other people back.
Well, maybe the fact that this is all in shadow is hiding some of the faults of it.
On the other hand, shadow in CGI is more expensive to do. So...
No, shadows are, but keeping stuff dark, that's so hard.
Still, there seem to be some kind of issues. I wonder why they didn't just stop motion the dragon like they did with the dinosaurs a few episodes ago.
Maybe they couldn't find a good enough dragon prop.
They could just put wings on the dinosaur.
Get a Fin Fang Foom toy or something.
No.
Get the Serpentera toy for the dragon. That'd be perfect.
So I love when Wes morphs to fight the dragon. He does a jumping jack in midair and just sort of hovers for a second. Yeah. He forgets to fall.
Well, Wes isn't that bright. But yeah, that was kind of that kind of stuck out, didn't it?
So he does his sword slash thing, and the dragon blows up and showers flaming chunks of dragon meat all around him while he poses.
Barbecue.
Which is pretty badass, actually.
Tasty stuff, too.
And then he decides to open Pandora's box.
Oh, that can't go badly.
And there's a egg.
And a message from the dead knight.
First, take out the holy pin. Then thou shalt count to three. No more, no less.
Four is too many. Five, it's right out.
So
anyway, he goes back to help the other rangers now. We're still getting their ass kicked by the knight.
Well, can't be that bad since they're all still alive. Even
well,
Trip.
Then he hits the pink ranger in the tits, which, you know, that's pretty brutal.
And then Wes does something unfortunate.
Yeah, he arrives and shows off the Battleizer armor.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of fire, sadly, none of it on the armor.
But at least there's no roller blades.
And he attacks the knight with a super dose of burning justice.
He rips off the Lightspeed Megazord's finisher.
But in the end, I'm sure it's just a flesh wound.
It's definitely a different Battleizer episode.
Yes.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, it's okay. The Wild Force Battleizer episode makes even less sense.
Yep. This doesn't even really seem like a Power Rangers episode. And it isn't even the good type of not. It doesn't feel like a Power Rangers episode, like that one episode of Lost Galaxy.
Maybe if they would have used the Starship Troopers outfit. Couldn't have hurt.
Yeah, they showed the Black Knight with his partner, Johnny Rico.
Or, you know, just skip the knight costumes entirely in favor of the Starship Trooper uniforms.
And still keep the dragon?
And the horses.
And the horses will be on the moon.
That's next season.
Yeah, you need Beetleborgs costumes for that, not Starship Troopers.
Surprisingly similar production values. So anyway, what do we think of this Battleizer design?
I think Starship Troopers had better CGI.
Starship Troopers is awesome.
The movie or the show?
The movie. The show was terrible.
I've heard good things about it.
I've tried to watch it multiple occasions, and it's awful. You remember the Voltron Third Dimension cartoon we were talking about, the CG? That's what the CG feels like in the Starship Troopers cartoon. It's very floaty and not very emotive. And
so, Energon?
Yeah, kind of.
But without the advantages of using cell animation for the good stuff.
So,
and without cell shading.
So, Cybertron?
Cybertron was using cell shading still.
No, I mean with Energon, it used regular hand-drawn animation for when it needed to do, for when it did all the fancy stuff like expressions.
Oh.
Yeah, fancy things like facial expressions.
Yes. Yeah. Their hand-drawn 2D animation is the best-looking stuff in the show.
That's because their regular characters can't show anything beyond dull surprise.
Unless their faces are hand-drawn cell animation.
Yes.
So, do they only use Battleizers in these one episodes, or do they use them multiple times throughout the season?
They'll use them a few
more times.
I think Wes
used his, what, twice after this, maybe?
Well, you know, the Battleizers generally get introduced close to the end of the series anyway, so there's not too much opportunity to force it in there.
Because the very next episode after this was Time for Lightspeed, and I know he used it in that.
That one got a lot of Battleizers in it.
Yeah, because there was three Mega Battles and two Battleizers. Well, I'll give this Battleizer design one thing. It's better than the Lost Galaxy one.
That's not much of an accomplishment.
No. No, I don't know what was up with that Lost Galaxy Battleizer.
I think I kind of like it better than the space one, too.
Yeah, I do.
It is kind of more integrated with the suit, I guess.
I like the giant flaming chrono saber. I could do without the fire wings in the back, though.
Well, there's always going to be something about it you don't like.
That's true. I mean, it is a battleizer.
Well, those get cut off in the end anyway.
Oh.
His suit gets castrated?
More or less.
Just like Ankh.
But there's no ice cream involved this time.
Right. Still, it's too bad that Eric couldn't show up to show off his mega battle suit with it.
Maybe that's how they afforded the night shooting. They wrote him out of the episode and cut the salary.
What episode did Eric get his mega battle suit in?
Let me look it up here.
Well, that's no fun. I was hoping Fort Max would just know.
Quantum Secrets.
Oh. That was quite a bit earlier, wasn't it?
Yes, it's at least 10 episodes earlier. Maybe more than that.
I forget. Did we determine if the Mighty Mega Battles came before the Battleizer episode in Lightspeed?
Yeah, way before.
I guess it's less weird in Time Force since Eric is also technically a Red Ranger. Apparently.
Even if
and
he is
a Sixth Ranger.
Dick.
Yeah. The Red Sixth Ranger.
And a dick.
Well, that goes without saying. I mean, just look at him. But at least he's not a douche.
Yeah, he's definitely no Zane.
Yeah. Yeah, he's actually good for something once in a while. Besides getting captured or dating somebody's sister.
Or being asleep through half the series.
And in cryogenic suspension, the other half. Well, I thought that was funny.
I didn't get it.
No, he wasn't really hurt. He just wanted to take a nap.
Just lazy.
Yeah. He'd been fine for a while, decided to sleep in, let Andros take care of stuff.
Yes, maybe for a future Power Playback we should talk about Zane's introduction episode.
No. Just no.
Yeah, we should, because we don't have enough douche jokes yet.
I think we kind of exhausted our douchey jokes here recently.
Well, we'll wait a while before we do it so it'll be fresh again.
Fresh jokes here?
Well,
it's
you know,
possible.
Nothing's worse than a stale douche.
Bringing us back to Zane again.
So next week on Power Playback, we got something a little different. The only time so far a Battleizer suit's been used in a Japanese production.
Okay.
Magi Ranger versus Deca Ranger.
Which might actually interest Paladin.
Yes, because Deca Ranger is awesome.
And Magi Ranger is kind of just there.
It's competent.
Yeah.
Are you saying like on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 5?
Maybe a 6.
It depends what number you give Mystic Force.
4.
Yeah, so 5 or 6 seems about right. It'll be fine, though.
Okay.
We can make a show of it.
Well, we made a show of this crap, so...
Did we?
It seems that way.
Well...
We'll see how much is left of it after I get done editing.
30 minutes.
Is that including or not including the 3DS talk?
Including.
Yeah, I would say so. So, anything else this week?
I guess not.
So how much did you end up paying for your new headset?
$12.
I got mine for 8.
Yeah, and look how you sound.
I sound at least equal to you.
That's kind of my point.
Yes, but in my case, we can blame it on the headset. Meanwhile, Fort Max is probably using another free piece of crap he got with the computer. Although I'm not sure that it excuses the way he sounds.
It doesn't. Yeah. Because it's Fort Max.
And in Mickey's case, it seems that Max just hate microphones.
Max hate everyone else.
Yeah. especially on this show.
Well, everyone hates everyone.
We are hateable.
Yeah, the problem is that Steve Jobs hasn't personally approved the show, so...
He's a smart man.
So technically it's not compatible. Okay, well, I guess that's our show for this week, mercifully. Otherwise, we could, you know, try to pad it out another 15 or 20 minutes talking about random crap again.
Oh, please, let's.
Well, we did kind of skip over the Pokemon talk we had thought about before.
No, I said myself my confusion, so that counts.
Yeah, I'm not
sure.
The best
we could get right now.
Besides, there hasn't really been any new Pokemon anything to talk about. Most of what we talked about before was when Black and White was new. And now it's not.
Oh, have you downloaded the 3D Pokedex yet?
No.
Not you, Paladin.
I got offered it. I don't think I actually completed the download yet.
Oh.
But have you prepared the download?
Have you synchronized your watches?
I did at some point, but then it disappeared.
So shouldn't they be working on a new Pokemon game already?
They're
They'll probably
working.
Do another remake.
I'd like to see a remake of Ruby and Sapphire.
I think that's what everyone wants now.
I wish the remakes of Gold and Silver, you could, all the DS remakes, you could actually trade back and forth between earlier and later generations rather than just one-way transfer.
What'd he say?
I don't know.
Okay, you know how in the original Gold and Silver, there was a time machine that let you do back and forth trading with the red, blue, and yellow?
Vaguely remember. It's been a while since I played that.
Yeah, well, the remakes, you can trade, like, from the Game Boy Advance games, transfer Pokemon from those to the DS games, but not the other way around.
Nintendo decided they could make more money by forcing you to buy the new games. And new systems.
Yeah, and same thing with the Generation 4 games.
To be fair, Nintendo doesn't have to force us to buy them because we do it anyway, willingly anyway.
But yeah, and with Gold and Silver, the remakes of those, you can trade. You get send Pokemon from those to Black and White, but you can't send anything from Black and White back to the Heart Gold, Soul Silver, or the other DS games.
Maybe instead of Ruby and Sapphire, the next thing they should remake is Leaf Green and Fire Red. Just for no
Fire
good
Blue,
reason.
Leaf Red.
Well, I guess in that case it would be like Wet Blue.
But enough about your mother.
Isn't that pink?
It's a variety of colors.
Also some yellow and some black.
Depending on the circumstances, yes.
Depends what week of treatment she's in. Okay, so that will be the show for this week.
And we got our Pokemon talk in.
Yes, I only had to force it a little bit. Unlike your mom, who doesn't have to be forced at all. So, thanks for listening. Although I will never believe that you actually did listen to all this crap. And we'll
and
be back
listen
next
to
time.
Us again.
Maybe.
It's a possible nah. barricade.
Not after
Not
this
Not after
week.
This.
Yeah. See you next time.
So long.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Maybe Ken will be back next time.
We are still not sorry.
We regret nothing.
I regret everything.
Tighten up?
No.
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
Let's segue.
Off a cliff?
I hate those things.
Thunder. It sounds like you had to smack it to get to go to the next sound.
No, if you hold the trigger, it'll keep saying thunder, thunder, thunder over and over again until you let go of the trigger. Then it says Thundercats Ho.
Oh.
And it sounds like it
So basically, it's really easy to be obnoxious with.
Yes, it's fantastic.
And, the initial thunders sound like it's hoarse.
It starts out quiet and it gets louder.
Your mom does the same thing.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.